Good to see everybody here this evening. Hope you've all had a good day today. It's good to have our visitors with us. Good to have the Morrisons down here, and it's been also wonderful to have some of my family here in town. If you haven't met Richard and Nancy Alls, y'all take an opportunity to do so. They're on their way to go to Colorado pretty quick. So, but we've really enjoyed having them here for a couple of days and getting to enjoy a visit, probably the first really decent visit we've had in a number of years. So good to have them here and joining us for the worship. And it's wonderful to have Nora back. It has been a long haul for Nora, just not feeling good with having gotten the shingles, and now we believe she is over them and back and feeling well again, and we are certainly delighted for that. It just makes us all happy to see Nora here and to see each one of you here. It's a privilege to be able to gather together and to be able to worship with precious brothers and sisters. We talked this morning about the fact that there are times, certainly, where we need to think about what we're doing that's not right and correct it. As a matter of fact, we always need to have that caution within our life that if we're not on the right path, that we need to change. And we always need to have that caution to make sure that we are on the right path. That's why we're to search the Scriptures daily. But having done that, when we are walking in the light, when we are Christians, then we need to understand that God is pleased with us. And we looked at some of the passages this morning that indicated that, but we started off with Numbers chapter 6, and I want to read that again just to kind of set the table for this evening. Numbers 6, verse 22, the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. Well, this is important, I believe, for us to understand that God's face is towards us when we are seeking to serve him in the right way and when we're doing that. And he's pleased with us when we do that. One of the greatest tragedies I think that we have in our lives is as we grow older, we start focusing more and more on how we feel physically. Now, that's impossible not to do, mind you. I'm not suggesting for a moment that somehow we can just dismiss real pains and real ailments that have to be taken care of. But what I mean by that is when we focus on these things, rather than focusing on the fact that we're nearer to the judgment, we are nearer to heaven if we've been pleasing to God. And so one of the things that we need to do as we grow older is to look forward more and more with the understanding that when we are serving God in his way, he's pleased with us. He's waiting to tell us well done at the judgment, and he will tell us well done at the judgment if we are in that covenant relationship with him. We talked about that this morning, but if you're a Christian, if you are walking in the light, you're saved. You're going to heaven. Now, I realize full well that there are some who are convinced they are Christians, that they are walking in the light, who clearly are not. I'm not talking about just a feeling about that. I am talking about if you are genuinely a Christian and if you are genuinely living the life that he called you to, you are going to heaven guaranteed unless you cease to walk in the light. And so having said that, that gives us a tremendous amount of confidence, I believe, and also a tremendous amount of joy. And we need to have that. When we're younger and we're struggling with different things, I mentioned the fact that we had our grandkids this week. I know that children create certain realities in life that have to be taken care of. That's how I was couching my words here. But there's a fact that there are things that we just have to take the time to do. We must do that, but it's also a privilege to do that. But when we are raising our children in the right way, we're doing well. When we are raising them in God's way, we need to know that his face is shining upon us with approval. And we're doing well. Whatever stage of life we are, when we're children and we're starting to seek God, and we're trying to figure out what it is that He expects of us, and we're starting to search the Word, maybe for the first time in our life, on our own. And we're finding out what it is that He has to say, and then we're trying to figure out what we need to do. Each one of us will come to a certain point in our lives where it's time to become a Christian, and we realize that. And so we are seeking, and we are searching, and we are planning, and we are praying. You're doing well. And God's face shines upon you. There is nothing better in this life than to be pleasing in the sight of God. As long as we draw breath, if at any given moment you are pleasing in the sight of God and you have His favor, you couldn't be doing better as far as the fact that you're saved. I don't mean that we can't be doing better as far as growing, because we're commanded to grow. But this idea of always just having a feeling that somehow the other shoe is about to fall. I know when I was growing up, I had a thought. It was an improper thought, but it was the idea that somehow God was just looking for a way to make us lost. Do you realize that God does not make anyone lost? God only saves people. He doesn't make you lost. If you're lost, you did that on your own. God is not looking for a way to make you lost. He's looking for a way, and He's encouraging you. He is calling you to come to Him on His terms so that you won't be lost. And that's an amazing thing. Now we know that God is on our side, and that makes our lives a lot easier. We still have to do certain things. We still have to do our work, and hopefully we'll do our work well. But as we go through life, instead of always having this idea that somehow God is never pleased with us, that we're always on the verge of eternal condemnation, that somehow that it's not appropriate for us to enjoy the life that God has given to us, or that we always have to some people that every time they talk about something good, they say knock on wood. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but I'm not sure they either do either. But it's always that idea that it really can't be this good, so let's not get too carried away. Well, it can be. When God commanded Moses to command the priests to bless the people in such a way that they knew that God's face was shining upon them when they were doing well, this is something for us in this dispensation as well. And we need to enjoy that. James chapter 1, verse 27 gives us something else. Religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. If you are looking after those who are in need of help, that may not be able to take care of certain things, and you are filling their needs, and if you are keeping yourself from being polluted by the world, then you need to know you're doing well. God is looking at you and is considering you to be doing things well. Well done. We need to understand that. Some people have a really twisted sense of religion. I've heard a lot of people talk about in the last several years, they don't like religion. They don't like religious things, because they have the idea that somehow religion and religious things are for men. But when we talk about true religion, religion that is pure and undefiled, this is something from God. And we need to celebrate that fact, and we need to understand that when we are doing our best to help others in their distress, this talks about widows and orphans, but we have other responsibilities as well, and when we're keeping ourselves from being polluted by the world, we're doing good, and God's face shines upon us. In Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 16, there's another thing that I believe is just absolutely imperative for us to understand as far as our responsibilities in life. And sometimes we kind of shy back from this because we think that somehow when it comes to warning people about God and their particular lifestyles, that maybe we shouldn't do that. We've all heard when we point out that something is a sin, well, don't judge me. Jesus said, judge not that ye be not judged, as if that means that we are not able to notice whether something is right or wrong, as if somehow when God commands something, we really can't tell what that command is. This is what our duty is. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 16. He's talking, God is talking to the prophet Ezekiel, but it certainly has application for us as well. At the end of 7 days, the Lord, word of the Lord came to me, son of man, I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them a warning from me. When I say to a wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. If we remain silent in the presence of wicked men when we have an opportunity to say something, I realize that it's not always our place to say something. That doesn't mean you have to go to the bars in the big city and go and warn them all about the evils they're doing and go to the marches when people are marching for sin and warn them about that. I believe what we need to be doing is in our circle of influence, when we see people who are tending towards evil, we need to make sure they know that's evil. I heard today that one of the major denominations is now trying to figure out whether or not they're going to consider abortion a sin or not. Isn't that interesting? Where men think they have the right to decide whether sin is sin. That has got to be the ultimate in audacity and gall. Same denomination was recently deciding whether or not homosexuality was a sin. And they decided, well, we'll accept that. I don't know where we get in our lives where all of a sudden we start accepting things that God says are sin as if they are not, and that we think that somehow we're being good. If you see a child playing out in the street, and that child doesn't see a vehicle coming, and you think, well, that child doesn't want me involved with that, I'll just let the truck hit him, there's something wrong with us in that circumstance. And if we see people who are involved with sin that we have an actual influence over, and we just will let them perish in their sin with the danger of dying and going to hell for all eternity because we don't want to seem like we're judgmental, there's something wrong with us. And so God is saying to Ezekiel, if I tell you to warn somebody and you don't warn them, they're still going to die for their sin, but so are you. But then he says this, verse 19, but if you do warn the wicked man, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his evil ways, he'll die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself. In other words, well done. Not well done on behalf of the wicked man, but our job is not to make somebody change. Our job is not to drag somebody to the baptistry. Our job is to sow the seeds. Our job is to make sure that people understand the Word of God and that we do that in as attractive a manner as we can, because we need to be attracting people to Christ, not to be pushing them away from Christ. But we cannot attract people to Christ with a lie by telling them that sin is not sin or just accepting whatever it is they want to consider as being acceptable to them as far as their service to God. We need to help people. But if we do see somebody that's sinning and we warn them, even if they don't turn away, we have done well. We have fulfilled our responsibility in that. But of course, that's not what we want, and that's not what God wants. This is what God wants, verse 20. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and does evil, and I put a stumbling block before him, he'll die. Since you did not warn him, he'll die for his sin. Obviously, he doesn't want that. But this is the part. The righteous things that he did will not be remembered, and I'll hold you accountable for his blood. But if you warn the righteous man not to sin, and he does not sin, he will surely live because he took warning, and you will have saved yourself. This is why that we study the Scriptures and find out what's pleasing in God's eyes and what is not. He's not joking. He's not just saying, this is for your consideration. If you want to do it. And if you don't want to do it, well, that's okay. I understand. He really does have rules. He really does have laws. Because those rules and those laws are what will keep us holy or help us to come back and be holy again if we've been unholy. And those who are not holy cannot. And we need to underline this in our minds. Those who are unholy cannot dwell in God's presence. It's impossible for the unholy to be in the presence of the holy. And so if we see somebody that we can help, we need to warn them. We need to do it in a kind way. If you say, let's go back to that two-year-old in the middle of the street. You don't scream out curses to him, do you? You don't say, hey, dummy, get out of there, do you? Hopefully, as gently as possible, you rush out and you protect him from the danger he's in. When we see people who are imperiling their souls and the souls of their families, hopefully what we can do is we can rush out and we can protect them from that evil. We can warn them of that evil. Not everyone will accept it. As a matter of fact, when you look at what Jesus said, that wide was the path and broad the road that led to destruction and many enter into it, we get the understanding that most people won't accept what God has to say for them. But some will. And this is one of the most thrilling parts of Christianity. Regardless of somebody's past life, if they catch themselves and they turn to God on God's terms, they can be with God for all eternity. It's good news. Why is it sometimes we treat it as bad news? Oh, I know I need to do that, but that may make them mad. It might make a lot of people mad. But it still doesn't keep us from doing that. When we warn a righteous man not to sin and he doesn't, he'll surely live. And God wants us to know you're doing well. And you'll have saved yourself. Well done. There is just something about the fact that when we are walking in the way that we're supposed to be walking, that just takes care of everything. We looked at the passage in Luke this morning about the one who sent out his servants with a mina each. He was talking in Jericho on that. Well, and when he was in Jerusalem, he used the phrase talent. In Matthew chapter 25, he sent out the three men with talents, one with five, one with two, and one with one. And when he came back after a long time, verse 19 of Matthew 25, the master of the servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the five talents brought the other five. Master, he said, you entrusted me with five talents. See, I've gained five more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many. And then he says, come and share your master's happiness. God is happy with us and pleased with us when we are doing his will. And he wants to reward us far in excess of anything that we could have possibly earned. He wants to reward us. He wants us to be with him forever. He wants us to hear, well done. Why is it that somehow we think that somehow he is hoping to catch us in something so that he can keep us from being with him for all eternity? Does that even make sense in light of, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son? God wants to tell us well done. And the other thing is this. When you know that you are doing well, it changes the way that you live. It changes the way that you do everything. I told you about the little kids that I coached in basketball. When they were doing well, and I told them they were doing well, when they would go out and play basketball, it changed the way they played. It freed them up to continue doing well. It freed them up to enjoy it. The standard that we always had when they were playing basketball was to do your best. The winning would come if they would do their best. So we didn't talk a lot about winning, but we talked about doing your best. And that's fun. You can go out, and if you miss the shot, but you tried to take the best shot you could, then you did your best. You still hear well done when it goes around the rim and comes out, just as much as you do when it clunks around the rim and goes in. There's no difference as far as your effort was the best you could do. When you're doing the best you can do under the circumstances God gives you, you're going to hear well done. Sometimes people will repent, and sometimes they won't. But we'll hear well done. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 2, God reminded Cain of this. Genesis chapter 4, I believe, is really interesting because it gives us an insight as to how God dealt with the early men. He actually talked with them and had conversations with them. In verse 2 of Genesis 4, Abel kept flocks, Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, but Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Now, it doesn't say that God said anything to Cain about not looking on his offering with favor, but we know that he had to have said something because Cain was in on it and he was mad about it. And so God gave him a truth that if we could learn, I think would change the way we do things. In verse 6, the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted?" This principle of if you do what is right, will you not be accepted is so important for us to understand. We don't need to be mad all the time, and we don't need to be sad all the time, having our face downcast. God wants us to enjoy this life that He's given to us. But it is completely contingent upon our being obedient to His will. When we're not obedient to His will, He's not pleased. That means we should do something about it so we can get back within His good graces. But this idea of if you do what is right, will you not be accepted is so important because we need to understand if you're doing what's right, God is looking upon you with favor and He is essentially saying to you, well done. Can you imagine having better praise from anything in your life? You may get all sorts of awards in life. You may enter all sorts of competitions and win all sorts of accolades and prizes and honors among men. But there is no greater accolade or prize or honor than hearing from God, well done. And if you are doing what is right, you're going to be accepted. And if that's the situation we find ourselves in, then why not enjoy our life? There will be things that will come along that will cause us grief. There are things that grieve God as well. But why not enjoy the rest of our life? Why not be looking with anticipation to this reward that God has for us? Not because we deserve it, but because we are walking in the light. We're meeting His requirements. Why not enjoy walking by the light of His face and knowing that He is looking at us and saying, well done? There's one more passage. It's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and it begins in verse 9. And this is critical. God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation. A lot of people think it's the exact opposite, that somehow God created us to receive wrath. And that if we're saved, well, we're just really lucky or we're really fortunate. No. God didn't appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we spend so much time on talking about what it takes to get us into Christ and to remain in Christ. Because without being in Christ, you don't get to avoid God's wrath. And without continuing in Christ, you don't get to receive salvation. But if we do, then we have His favor and we have this waiting for us. And then verse 10 tells us something about Christ. He died for us so that whether we're awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. His death cannot be in vain. His death cannot be something that we look upon as a light thing or as some kind of an accidental thing. As if We're just going to do what we're going to do and we're going to get what we're going to get and there's not a lot we can do about it. Jesus died so that you could have this opportunity to hear, well done. And so in verse 11, he says this, therefore encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you're doing. We need to talk about this. We need to continually encourage one another and continually build each other up because we're going to heaven if we will walk in the light. If we've had our sins washed away initially, and then if we continue to walk in the light, and when we find ourselves outside of the light, we come back on God's terms. And that's the message for tonight. Are you a Christian? Are you ready to become one? We'd love to help you with that. Do you need the prayers of the congregation? We would be honored to do that. But if you are doing well, then you need to understand, well done. And keep on doing it. It's easy to say, but hard to do. But if you'll do that, you're going to enjoy the reward that God has for those who are faithful. And someday you'll hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Invitation's open. If you need to respond, won't you do that while we stand and sing?